Silver and gold I have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every now and again, Father Siordio over the years has told me a proper ghost story. We would consider it such, except, of course, that ghosts are just souls from heaven, hell, or purgatory, permitted for some purpose by God to be here upon earth. I've mentioned before that in the Mexican state of Morelos, south of Mexico City, there are a lot of ancient Indian tombs, and when people dig to build, often they'll come across one. Generally, they loot it as soon as possible, hoping to make a little money. A man this year was building an addition to his home in the village of Cocoyoc, and he discovered three of these tombs, impressive affairs, made of finely fitted stone slabs. Eager for gain and for gold, he broke open one, and ignoring the skeleton of a tall man, which he found there, he brought all of the contents of the grave out, up into his house, including a sort of a V-shaped vessel said by the people to contain gold. But the people always say, if you try to steal it, the gold turns to dust. Well, the tomb thief didn't get any gold, but he got a ghost. Give me back the contents of my tomb, the ghost demanded. The man was frightened, but not too frightened. Remember, they live in an ambiance of the supernatural in that world down there. So he called Father Siordio, and Father came and he saw the tomb for himself. He went down into it, and the thief, thinking to temporize, put back some of the things he had taken. But the ghost announced he was staying in the living room until all was restored. There was some back and forth. The father came and blessed the house, but a Mexican standoff was averted when the ghost announced he would be satisfied if they removed his remains to the Panteón Cristián, to the Catholic cemetery in town, so that he could rest, descansar there, he said. And so they did, and the ghost never came back. These buried treasure stories remind me of one of my few successful sermons, I'll say, in Mexico. It was 2004. We had just moved into our new church here, and I had gone down for the St. Anthony Fiesta at Alpanocan. And I remember telling the children who were making their communion, I remember telling them the story of St. Anthony and the chest of gold. Do any of you know that story? Father Siordia didn't have time to write out the translation of my sermon into Spanish for me, and so I had to improvise. But the remarkable thing was that everybody listened to the sermon that morning. Usually they don't understand me too well, what with my Yankee accent and my many mistakes in Spanish grammar. And besides, the custom is more or less to talk throughout the entire service. There's always a buzz of conversation to be heard in the churches. But this time, there prevailed absolute silence. St. Bonaventure tells this story about how a prominent citizen in Padua died, and nothing would do but that they had to have the great preacher, Anthony, Friar Anthony, to give the funeral sermon. He took as his text, "Where your treasure is, there is your heart." But the family, of course, wasn't listening. They were thinking about the money the old miser had left, a chest of gold, and they would break it open and divide it among themselves, all those coins, as soon as the burial was done. Finally, they finished, and they got to the real event of the day, and a young nephew of the deceased was the first to plunge his hands greedily among all the golden coins. But he felt something there, something soft, something wet. And as he withdrew his hand, it dripped with blood. They dug out all the coins, and sure enough, there in the midst of the chest was the old man's heart. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Speaking of sermons, while some of our families do miss Sunday Mass fairly frequently, thank God I know only a few who never attend the Sunday sermon, if they can possibly avoid it. And as the members of our Cushion Club know, it's fairly easily done. You just come to one of the low masses most Sundays at St. Gertrude, and come late. And you can shave off about 20 minutes of the gruesome experience of your Sunday obligation, and still more or less go to Mass. Of course, if the Mass of the Catechumens starts right away and not the sermon, as happens when there are other fathers here, for example, why then you've sinned by coming late, but I suppose they figure, why take the chance? I must admire their perseverance, though, as though it were for them a point of principle never to assist at a sermon, like those who refuse to dress respectfully on a Sunday, men or boys in suit and tie. Also, I think on principle. Should these folk ever convert, they would make great Catholics. To miss the Sunday sermon habitually out of carelessness or contempt for the Word of God would be a sin, could even be a mortal sin if scandal or very bad example were involved. Well, some of these folk, I mean the sermon abstaining folk, young people, shined in the other Sunday late for Mass at some point during the Mass of the Catechumens. Question, what is the Mass of the Catechumens? Short answer, it's the Mass that starts with the first bell and ends with the second bell, the Mass, when Father begins the offertory. In the ancient days of the Church, those who were catechumens, studying the catechism for baptism, could only assist at that first part of the Mass. They had to leave when the Mass of the faithful began. Well, they were there for a while at the offertory, but before the consecration, one of them left the church, perhaps for a bathroom break, and returned only when the priest received his communion. Then another of this group, of this family, departed and returned only after the priest's communion. Soon to leave again, a storm had come up and the car keys were solemnly passed down the pew to this young man, and then he departed and was not seen again. The question, did they attend their Sunday Mass? The answer is no. They were here for a while, that's true, but you must be present at the three principal parts of the Mass. This is the Church's principle, and she's fairly unflexible about it. What are the principal parts of the Mass? The offertory, the consecration, and the priest's communion. Helpful bells are rung by our excellent altar boys to indicate when these times are coming and when they are actually occurring. If you miss any of the above, you have not heard Mass, and you commit a mortal sin, as you would also if you miss the whole first part of the Mass, Mass of the Catechumens, as well as the whole last part of the Mass from the communion time to the end. Now, I couldn't help but notice, while all of this was going on, we had two visitors. They were also young people, and they knelt quietly and reverently all throughout the Mass in the side chapel, in paying their debt to God that Sunday. They found gold here at this church. And you know, anybody could. But if you won't, you won't. What's required? First of all, you must be here physically. And then you must be here by intention and by your soul. You would commit a mortal sin if you deliberately slept through the entire Mass, if you had no intention at all to assist at Mass. You have to sort of avert to the Mass going on, at least from time to time. They say even if you're going to confession during Mass, you should keep an eye on the altar. It's easy to make the connection because it's the same precious blood that works in the confessional or at the altar. All of this, I suppose, is really a matter of training. And while parents in the vestibule with their babies are considered as attending Mass at any time, children and adults who go out on bathroom breaks are liable, like our young friends, to end up here, but actually missing Mass because of not being present for one or more of the principal parts of the Mass. Why? They'd gotten themselves into the habit when they were little of wandering in and out of Mass at will. Train your children, parents, to go before Mass, and barring sickness or accident, to stay put in church quietly, reverently, all during Mass. You'll be doing them a favor for a lifetime. And that way, they won't have come all the way to church and then still have managed to miss their Sunday obligation. Ah, dear friends, silver and gold I have. Think of what is on offer here every Sunday. You don't have to break open the tomb. He already did when he rose from the dead. Nor to loot its treasures. They are yours. It is your inheritance. Think of it as a kind of a reverse offertory. The usher passes the basket, as it were, and you're welcome to plunge in and to take as much as you will. Some Masses, I grant you, you'd hardly get yourself a fortune, but I'm speaking metaphorically. You need only be here. Be here when it happens, not be out on break or to come in late. You need only know what's happening so you don't miss it. Miss what? The treasure on offer, silver and gold. I have. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.